The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, September 4th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. I have a guest host with me, of course, Siobhan Johnson. She's going to be joining me via Zoom. I'm going to confirm that she is on shortly. But I want to mention and remind people that today's show is sponsored by Percy's Island Game. And I want to remind people that attention Island Game players, Percy's pension plan is now accepting applications. So deposit $25 and you are officially in the running for a weekly salary up to $1,000 per week for a full year, right? So applications close on September 8th. It's a, they want to remind you to apply now at the islandgame.com. That's T-H-E, the islandgame.com. I want to remind people that this is a promotional gaming campaign, and it is not an insurance policy, pension plan, retirement savings plan, investment product, or other regulated financial services. I want to also remind people that, hey, if you want to give your pocket a break, we will help you pay the big four in our September Bill Buster promotion. We are giving away, that's Guardian Media, we are giving away gift vouchers every week. I wonder if I'm eligible to play this. We are giving away gift vouchers every week. Vouchers from BPL, vouchers from Water and Sewage, vouchers from Super Value Food Stores and Shell. So win gift vouchers every Friday. Today is Friday. Say every Friday in September. Today is Friday and it is September. I wonder who went today. Fill out the entry form in today's Nassau Guardian. Listen to Guardian Radio 96.9 and follow us across all social media platforms. Give your pocket a break with our September Bill Buster. Win gift vouchers every Friday. I like getting gifts on Fridays. Friday's a good day to win things. Okay, let me check if see if Siobhan is here. Siobhan, you there via Zoom? No? No, she's not there yet, Kermit? Okay, let me text her. Oh, because she's going to be there. Text Siobhan Johnson. You are not in place, girl. Girl, with G-U-G-U-R-L. Girl. Hi, Sweden. Okay, now I just text her. So she'll be joining us via Zoom. Actually, today's show is going to be a continuation of a subject that we covered early into the week. I wanted Siobhan, Miss Johnson, to use her risk management skills. When she comes on, finally, I'm going to have her remind us of her specialty and why she is here doing her risk management assessment of the situation. I have a social media clip. I have a social media clip of a person born in the Bahamas who claims that he is Bahamian. However, recently he has been deported from the United States and he's now in Haiti. And he's asking the Bahamian government to intervene and say, man, come for your people. I's one of your peoples. Come for your people. I want to, as a risk management person, to question whether the Bahamas should be on full alert regarding the United States plan or process of deporting in a particular group, Haitian migrants. We see we just recently deported, according to the news, 120 immigrants to Haiti this week. And yesterday, 141 showed up on boats. They say, as they go out, as they come in. I thought they stopped coming by boat. I thought everything is via plane, right? I want to have this conversation juxtaposed that we still have students who do not speak English. And if they do not speak English, where were they in the past 5, 6, 7, 8 years? So surely you should have a basic knowledge of the English language, right? So where have you been? Which community have you been living in? So we're going to have a conversation on the impact of immigrants in the Bahamas, what we should be doing, how we can curb it, right? Because all these conversations have happened before, right? But perhaps our government needs some innovative suggestion. Not no suggestion of deport all, because that won't work. Especially when you're dealing with what I call Bahamian and waiting. And Bahamian and waiting means persons born in the Bahamas to whatever status their parents was, but they are entitled to apply for Bahamian citizenship at 18. And it's subjective in whether the government gives it to them at all. And what duty of care, or should we have care regarding those people who are waiting for citizenship? So that's a whole conversation that I plan. So in the meantime, Kermit, cue up that thing I have you to play. We're going to listen to this gentleman. This gentleman is a famous boxer. He's an international boxer, right? Apparently he got himself in some issues in the United States. He's been in the United States for 20 plus years. He was born in the Bahamas, so he claimed, right? So he claimed, and then he left here when he was about 6. And 20 years later, he said, man, I'm supposed to get some status, and the Bahamian government needs to intervene and come get me, right? So let's play that, Kermit, and start the conversation. Ms. Johnson, it should be logging on right now, so we'll have her do an assessment of it. Go ahead, Kermit.
I just arrived in Haiti. I don't know much about Haiti. Actually, I don't know anything about Haiti. I wasn't born here. I was born in Bahamas. And I've been living in the USA for about 20-something years. Other than that, I'm in the land of Haiti. It is nice here, but I'm trying to move on. I don't have any resources, family members, or people that aid me. So I'm just trying to see how I can, you know, go from there.
And that's the clip here. I thought I had another clip there where it goes in detail explaining his point, or where he claimed his mother is Bahamian. And I guess I'll give that details so we can have a proper conversation. I already have a text. There's no reason for debate on this. The man didn't apply for citizenship. This has nothing to do with us. His parents are Haitian, and so is he. Full stop, period. So let's have a discussion on that. And I mind you, if you ask me that question, I would echo the same text and say, yes, I agree with that, man. You had from 18. You now 26, man. You had from 18 to apply. Clearly, you had no interest in the Bahamas. But I remember that Gene Rooney case. This is where Louis George is supposed to call it around this time. Gene Rooney did not apply for citizenship. And because he didn't apply for citizenship, our government said, you know, you're not entitled to get citizenship. And we have the right to deny him. We said, man, we ain't want you to have no citizenship. And of course, he appealed. He gone away to the Privy Council. And there was a back and forth on whether there should be some lesser level of status for those who born. And that's what our debate is about. Lesser level of status for those who born in the Bahamas. And that's up for debate. And the Bahamian people should express their view on that in terms of lesser. Does he say this should be talking about? No. We're talking about lesser level of status. And they need to explain to the government what they expect All of them. Because Jay and Rooney said, man, I should at least have permanent residence. I born here. I live here. Right? I contributed here. Right? Man, he died before any conclusion. But this gentleman did not grow up here. He spent all his years in the United States, man. He didn't have no intention. If Trump didn't capture him and say, hey, you're going home, he would not have anything to do with the Bahamas. When he was 18, he could say, man, I'm going back to the Bahamas just in case. But he was not intending to come to the Bahamas. But let me add to the story. He claims that his daddy was Bahamian. And when I say Bahamian, like I have to use that loosely because, let me change the word, had Bahamian citizenship. Because Bahamian citizenship and Bahamian is two different things. Bahamian is by birth automatically. Citizenship can be awarded differently. He claims, the same boxer, claimed that when he was born, his mother had already applied for citizenship. His mother lived here someplace and was granted it days before he was born, or he was born the day his mother was granted it. And all that's subjective because some people make up all kinds of things to express their point. But he claimed his mother was Bahamian on his mummy side, and he claims that his daddy was Bahamian, but because he was born, see, this, when you explain it slowly, it don't make no sense to me. Because his mother's Bahamian, automatically he's supposed to have a Bahamian status some way. So he got to be making up something. Anyway, I'll continue the story, like how he said, and then we can have the debate on it. Siobhan, you there? Because I got to start reading some text.
Yes, darling, I'm here. Good afternoon. Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry. Before you start, I want to remind people of who you are in terms of your expertise and why I tend to invite you to analyze these things. So just state that resume in terms of risk management and stuff like that and be able to apply all these things.
You want me to go? I'm a good, well-rounded Bahamian with the expertise in corporate governance, risk management, third-party risk, all kinds of stuff, IT security. And I'm here to, and I have fair judgment, and I'm here to help balance whatever you want to talk about.
Yes, I just want to make sure people understand why I keep on inviting you. So I was giving them orientation of who does Siobhan Johnson Nuri keep on inviting. So let me read some more texts. I see you, caller. I'm going to engage you, caller, shortly. And thanks very much for joining me again. These people won't talk with the F&M. I haven't even talked with the F&M today. But it's a slow day, so I'll read it still. So in regard to the F&M leadership race, whoever wins the leadership, if Pintard remain in the interest of the party, putting its best foot forward, I would advise him to go find our good, talented friend, former Senator Darren Cash. Convince him to re-enter politics and try get him as party chairman. A very smart fella, and it is my view that prior to Dr. Minutes isolating him as chairman, that led to the exit of politics. He was, in my view, the best F&M chairman in recent times who can go head-to-head, pound for pound, with PLP Fred Mitchell. Okay, that person sent it about 3-4 times, right? I guess he definitely intended me to read that. Mr. Nuri, that man doesn't know anything about the Bahamas either. He need to stay in Haiti. See, I agree. I found it odd that he asking our government to intervene. At least Gene was living in the country. This man was not. That's what this text says. This the first time this American man even mentioned the Bahamas. Tell him CYC. That's what the person says. So, good morning, Mr. Nuri. That only looking for a home country only because he got deported to Haiti. He is Haitian, right? And this texter says, on the first day of the House of Assembly opens, the government needs to come prepared, pass a law to suspend the right to register as allowed by Constitution, national security immediately. And CA and Siobhan Johnson recently worked at the post office. I don't know if she won't tell her business like that. Be talking about her analytical skills and her specialty. Let's go to this caller, Siobhan, and I can have you respond to that. Go ahead, caller, Guardian Radio AM. You live?
Yeah,
go ahead.
In respect to this situation, this latest situation, you know, we already have a lesser standard to citizenship, you know. We can't go no lesser than that. It's called a belongers permit.
We don't have no belongers permit in the Bahamas.
That's what it is.
But we don't have no belongers permit in the Bahamas.
Yeah, I don't call shows without having substantive facts. Okay.
So you're saying that we have a term,
show, right? So I wouldn't spread propaganda.
So you are saying that we have a term as belongers permit.
Yes, just so they could get by, according to these politicians, you know, for them to open up a bank account, etc., etc. But that is unconstitutional, and it doesn't lay in well with what we are trying to accomplish here in the Bahamas. But it's called a belongers permit. That's less a standard than a citizenship. I don't know whether or not they can vote, but it's a belongers permit. Now, this gentleman or his family had no interest in the Bahamas. I don't know whether they want work permit. They save up enough money, and then they migrated to the U.S. But obviously, they had no... The Bahamas was they can do it. And, you know, they use us like rental cars. That's what they do to us. Because, you know, the politicians in the Bahamas, they're not too smart. Many of them, well, they appear not to be. But here we go again. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Ministry of Foreign Affairs hasn't already written to Haiti to have this gentleman, what they would call it, return home. I wouldn't be surprised. I will not. You know, we don't use common sense policies and legislation in the Bahamas. You know, anything that does not make sense, we quickly adopt to it. But this is the common sense era, and many politicians should be left behind. Who doesn't possess common sense? But the U.S. did the right thing when they sent him to where his feet, he had a Haitian passport. That's what he, I don't know how come he was able to use it to get to the U.S., but he was in possession of a Haitian passport, and the U.S. sent him where the passport lies. He had a Bahamian passport. Definitely they would have sent him here to the Bahamas. But we need to move in this direction CA, where paternity and maternity test is a must to acquire citizenship. That's how they do it in developed countries. Mother, baby, baby father, baby siblings, if any, to establish whether or not this is your biological child. Because that is what is hurting our school system, but a lot of these immigrants in the school system, that is what is hurting our public health care system. When taxpaying Bahamians and foreigners who collect customs and immigration and who have a right to be here need to access these things, they cannot because they're all filled by persons who has no right to even be here in the Bahamas. So don't cloud the issue. Don't cloud the issue. Let's see basically what happens. But we're not moving CA like developed countries are. Look at the great United States of America. 400 million people, but they're still moving in the direction of making sure that anyone who is in the U.S. have a status to be there. But we're not doing it. We're still relaxing our immigration laws. We're still giving out work permits and visas like candy. We're still doing these things. So here we go again. But I listen to Siobhan Johnson. I know the name pretty well. And she seems to be... well-rounded in terms of what needs to be done. But the thing is, until we move in the direction where the Bahamas is designed for Bahamians first, and everyone else here is by invitation, we'll be no better off than yesterday's CA. That's just where we are. But we don't care about us. You know, they don't care about us.
I appreciate you, Clever. Let's let Ms. Siobhan answer and you listen closely. So in your expertise, is the Bahamas at risk, especially with this TPS temporary status thing that the U.S. government has suspended? Should we be, when I say we, the Bahamas, be implementing some safe measures? Because we have a number of people who were born in the Bahamas. This is a fact. They born here. Princess Margaret Hospital or whatever they born to. And they have emigrated in the thousands, in the hundreds and the thousands to the United States, right? And a number of them may be deported back to Haiti. We know that there's a fear of that if they had some kind of Bahamian status, like a birth certificate,
A number of Bahamians are concerned that the United States may deport them to the Bahamas. And there's a number of people who say this is a security risk for the Bahamas. The Bahamas can't tolerate this. And they want our government to state a policy on what it is we will be doing regarding these people. And I want you to use your risk management skills and do commentary on what we should be doing. Should we be concerned?
I think that if we be honest, first of all, we are a country governed by laws, and there are laws. So first to support what the caller said, in 2015, I believe is when it was gazetted, we did introduce this resident belongers permit. And when we look at the what I consider the fail referendum to some extent, because as a female that had my children abroad, you know, we do have a disconnect of equality in our current practices that we've been working. So we'll give credit to the successive governments. We've been working to neutralize. But in terms of classifying anyone, we basically have laws that say what you're entitled to and what you should apply for and by when you need to apply for. So in terms of having a legal status, there should be no one with an illegal status that's allowed to have the same benefit of someone when we have the laws, we have the processes in place for you to always remain in legal status in our country. As it relates to the people being deported, if you did not secure a legal status, then I think that we should just apply the rules as is. If you don't have status to be in the Bahamas, then you have to go where you have status to be.
See, I can stop you there. I can see you caused me to stop you because I wanted you to explain. But see, you, I concern, Ms. Johnson. Now, if you telling me they shouldn't, if they don't have legal status, they can't get any benefits. But we know we have children of people who do not have legal status attending our government schools, attending our government preschools in particular, because there's always a shortage of preschools. Are you saying that these children shouldn't be allowed to go to school?
That's how I interpret it. I think a lot of people don't know the full gamut of how our government works. We go and we sign on to conventions. So there's a convention that talks about the right of a child. And one of those is access to education. So no matter what, that is what is driving that. We have to educate a child that is underage, that is school age. That is what we've agreed to that.
When you said,
we go to the UN, our country has signed on to various conventions that dictates things like that. So giving access to an immigrant child is because we've signed on the convention that says we will guarantee education for a child regardless of status.
Is access to education seem as guaranteeing education? Because there's a lot of private schools they have access to. We giving them access to education. So that's something completely contrary to giving them free education. Why is it that the Filipinos have to pay, but the Haitian children get it free?
No person has to pay. We choose. A parent chooses to enroll their child into school and pay for education. That's a choice.
So the Filipinos don't have to pay. They could come into public schools, but the Jamaicans and the Haitians them can take advantage of the free education. Just trying to understand what you're saying.
That is a choice. And first of all, I'm a product of both public and private education. And I feel that I went to Richmond Primary. I think I had an extremely strong foundation in the public school system. So it is not a must to go to a private school to get a good education in the country. So it's a choice.
Let me read some more text because I'm a little concerned. But let me read some more text. This one says, OMG, what is wrong with us? A year ago, I was text about the coming suspension of TPS that would put 350,000 Haitian nationals in the United States at risk for deportation. The risk was as clear as day a year ago. The suggested response was to put in place a policy that would suspend the right to register on the grounds of national security. At the time, the host dismissed the text as xenophobic. You know what 350,000 Haitian nationals is? National security. But I'm not sure if 350,000 Haitian migrants want to come to the Bahamas. Why would you think they want to come to the Bahamas? Right? Come out. We're going to take this quick commercial break here. We're going to and continue to speak to Siobhan Johnson about her views on what should be happening. I'm saying that perhaps the preschool should be only for Bahamians. Or I'm saying that our government needs to charge anyone who do not have status a fee to attend public schools. It don't have to be an exorbitant fee, but a fee all the same. So yeah, you're here, but you gotta pay. I'm gonna have see what Siobhan say about that. This is Guardian Radio AM with CA Nuri. We'll be right back.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool enough.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
Alright, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So out of the way.
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pin from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pin.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Are you ready? The Chickchawny Challenge returns Saturday, September 26th to Clifton Heritage Park for Bush Party 2026. Take on an action-packed obstacle course to one of Nassau's most rugged and beautiful landscapes. Run solo or bring your crew. Gun time is 6:30 a.m. Register now at chickchawnychallenge.com. The Chickchawny Challenge is proudly sponsored by Advantage Insurance, RF Bank and Trust, Kalina, Guardian Radio 96.9, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, and Click. Bush Party 2026. Get dirty, get challenged, get there.
If you're born here, you're born here. And you got to tell people you're born here. I just want to remind people that power is off. Power is off all the way through Marathon. Power is off all the way on the highway, all the way on Abundant Life Road. This power is off. It could be a hard day today. Go outside and go on the beach. That's when you do when power is off. You tell your boss, hey, man, make no work happening today. I going on the beach. That's a recommendation. Okay, this text say, you are mixing up the issues. Birth certificate does not equal Bahamian citizenship, which I know. So obviously the U.S. understands Bahamian law better than most Bahamians. Decisions you make in your country have nothing to do with the U.S. deporting people. I want to know if those people who born in the Bahamas, even if they born in the Bahamas to illegal immigrants, do they have any kind of constitutional rights? Will they be automatically granted Bahamian citizenship when they apply at 18 if they're not any criminals? Or do we have any history of the argument saying, no, we just be full. We just ain't giving it to you. We have no reason. We just saying that right now we full. And then Siobhan saying that we signed on treaties. And I'm saying, Siobhan, I understand and appreciate the treaty that we signed on, but I think access to education is different than giving free education. I'm thinking that someone got to pay something. Pay something. And that'd still be, if you're paying, that's still access, right? Even if you pay.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking now, if we have overcrowding in schools, the government has a duty of care to add a fee for those who do not have status in the Bahamas. And I want to know if that's possible to you, Siobhan.
I mean, like I said, and I went and pulled up the actual Convention of the Rights of the Child, compulsory and free to all. We have to make primary education compulsory and free to all.
Free? So it says free?
Free to all.
Same darn thing.
For primary, encourage secondary education accessibility and ensure higher education is available based on capacity, is what it says.
Oh, I want you to read that again because that changes everything, and I want people to make sure understand. So it's free education in primary school, but high school they could pay.
Right. So it requires to make primary education compulsory and free to all, encourage secondary education accessibility, and ensure higher education is available based on capacity.
I mean what I mean by based on capacity. Based on capacity means space.
But I mean, is
capacity
me, these,
meaning that they can't afford it and they got to give scholarships.
Now, as it relates to how we pay for it, you know, that's a separate mandate to me of the government, because at the end of the day, you know, they still have to pay for public services and that's made available. So if they chose to implement different charges, you know, but basically where primary school education is free, you know, so. And they're not allowed to look at legal status.
Now, at the hospital, I think there is a nominal free fee for everybody who comes to the hospital, mm-hmm. like $10. I'm not sure exactly, but I think it's like $10 to start the service.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, and you could correct me and say, no, Cecil. I believe that the $10 normal fee should be for Bahamians and all foreigners. I'm not picking on any particular foreigner. Anyone who don't have no status inside the Bahamas got to pay double. No?
I don't. I think that to be a responsible country, just like when we go other places, you...
When I go to Miami, they tell me I got to pay, but then go in there. They don't do nothing free.
Exactly. So it's what we enforce, what we, and sometimes, you know, there's a concept of the rich pays for the poor. At the end of the day, whatever needs to be put in place so that basic health care, basic education, basic access to transportation, whatever is needed, I feel like that's why we have persons to set policy, execute policy for what's in the best interest of the citizens or residents of a country. So if we need to charge fees, you know, personally, when I look at what people spend money on, I think they're spending
Don't be
money,
watching my
so.
Pocket. Don't be watching my pocket. I don't watch your pocket. Don't take that
yeah,
back.
Well,
don't watch my pocket.
You want,
don't
you
watch
want
my pocket.
Access to care, then pay for it.
I said people who do not have status in the Bahamas need to pay more than me. That's what I'm saying. I want people to believe that and lobby for that. I'm not saying that you can't be here, no. I'm just saying that you need to pay more than what I is pay. I don't see that.
I don't
believe
in the. I was an auditor in the U.S. and I actually audited hospitals. And for me personally, when I looked at the structure of how a hospital is paid for its service, there's abuse in the system, right? And so I think that when you kind of take apart how healthcare is actually paid for, you see a lot of waste or mismanagement in terms of where funding really is going. That's just my personal experience. So let me issue that disclaimer. You know, you can get, you know, when you think about the billing process, from the time a service is billed for to when that service gets adjusted and what cash actually exchange hands, you know, there's some abuse in the system, and that's based on my international and local exposure. So to me, we should be able to make different decisions to cover the cost of what we're performing with the services that we're offering.
I blame Darvill. Let's go to this question. I blame Darvill.
So
let's go to the caller because Darvill could put some policies in place and say, you all ain't paying the same. I'm saying, I have a Bahamian wife. She paying the same thing that other people, foreigners, paying. And I said, it's unfair. We paying taxes.
But I don't think they should be allowed to abuse the system either. You know,
that's why I blame them.
When you look at somewhere like not Singapore, I think it's China. Like there's countries in the world that made decisions that if you cannot afford to have a child, then they cap how many children you could have.
You think
I'm a proponent of a policy like that.
You think we can cap the number of children immigrants have? What you saying?
If you cannot support that child, then I will cap your access to social services and social welfare. So you will be capped.
The human rights people ain't like that because you trying to block people from
We don't agree on everything.
Let's go to the callers there.
Yeah.
You trying to tie immigrants off. I don't like that. Let's go to the caller there. Yeah. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. You're live.
Hey, Rachel,
man.
They should start doing that.
Oh, God, have mercy.
I agree with everything the young lady is saying.
Go for it.
Because I used to get tired of paying taxes for people who keep slapping me in my face, telling me I ain't paying taxes for them in the journey.
You just don't like poor people.
No, it ain't that, brother. I poor, too.
No, you ain't poor. You pay taxes.
Amen. But my thing is, on a serious note, our government got to do something. Because it seems like everybody won't come here. But they claim that we don't like them. Why are you all trying to come here? If we don't like you all. If that's what you all saying. And like they running from Haiti. Everybody, I born in the Bahamas. Yeah, but you born in the Bahamas today from 6 years old, especially that one online. That means you never apply.
I personally believe, caller, once you're born here, you're born here.
Our government needs to stop giving citizenship. Because we can't have dual citizenship. They can't announce. Unless they go back to Haiti to announce. That means they have dual citizenship. So why is it that they have that right to have dual citizenship and we can't?
We
got to fix this country. I ain't going to lie to you. It's sickening because everybody seems to want to come here. And we signed on the treaties. America signed on the treaties. So I don't know why they show that in our face.
I hear you, Colin.
The government just got to have the fortitude to take a stand and stop it.
Okay.
Or get in Parliament, instead of talking a bunch of nonsense in there, start doing some legislation to put these things in place.
Okay. Thank you very much for your contribution. Have another caller here. Siobhan. Ms. Johnson, you there?
I'm listening.
What if I tell you this breakfast plan that I believe that the breakfast plan is supposed to be free for Bahamians, but those who do not have status in the Bahamas need to pay $1 or $2. Is that being discriminatory?
It is.
But the breakfast plan is supposed to be for Bahamians or those who pay taxes. But
I think it's like also a moral decision. I just feel like...
You won't be Christian now. But you can take pictures with drug dealers on a campaign trail, but you won't be Christian now.
I support access to a hot meal for children so that they can focus during the school day. So I don't think the cost is so much that we cannot bear.
What's the budget? What's the budget for that?
I'm not sure. I could look it up real quick.
No.
Whatever it is, I feel we have enough money to pay.
That's why there's no beds in the hospital now. We have enough
money. No. Healthcare is different, but education, no.
Yeah.
Because a school-age child hasn't started earning yet.
Imagine having an elderly father and then they in a gurney. Not even a gurney, because it's a short gurney. We have no space because the money ain't there. They have you sitting down waiting to get service and say, hey, we just don't have the money. The money going on food. That's what the money going on. Let's go to the next caller. Ah, boy. Go ahead, caller. God in Rio AM, you live.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Nui. Good morning to your guest.
Yes.
I agree with a number of things. She gave me a good laugh, and she talked about the child policy. That means she's the first. I think we may have a black eugenicist, right? But what she's saying, I don't agree with it, but it's not far-fetched in that I'll give you a little pathway in which other countries do it inconspicuously. When you go to places like Australia and other countries, them, you notice the scrutiny that they would put the person coming into the country under, right? I'm talking to the female now. You ever notice that? They would ask them where they're staying, how much money they're traveling with, what their source of income is going to be. They try to find out as much things financially about the person coming into the country. I don't know if you guys ever noticed that, you know. Hmm. And so that in itself is a way for them to really deal with addressing the problem that she's being concerned about. And the last caller, he highlighted the frivolous and flippant manner in which the government is handling this particular scenario. Now, like her, I'm a product of a public and private school. So what I'm saying is, when I listen to entities like the National Security, we're not hearing them as it relates to the numerology. I agree with what you're saying also, Mr. Nuri, but let's bear in mind, it's not even all about them paying, in which they should be. The problem is also the numbers of them. So we can't just accept any numbers of them because they're saying they're paying. We have to look at it from a holistic approach and a capacity approach. You can't just allow everybody to come here. They tell their friends, their cousins, everybody come here, and they talk about the pathways, whether it be bribery. We can turn our head in the sand, but immigration and some government entities, but especially immigration, has to be ground zero on a substrate for corruption. I ain't turning no blind eye to that. Because when Mr. Lincoln Bain was on the show yesterday with Pearly, I was disturbed by some of the disclosures. All right? And the media is guilty of taking this situation flippantly. And they're doing it over and over, and we cannot solve this problem if we don't acknowledge this problem. We look at even the report that came from Dwight, the United Nations talked about the lack of policing in these shanty towns, and then we look at the proliferation of shanty towns, and we look at how the government has allowed it to go on, and they're facilitating it because no one's being fined, there's no ordinances, there's nothing being done, everything is just over and over. We look at the coal burning, kills going on for so long. So we as citizens see the facilitation, but yet we expect the same results. And like Sparky said, they just keep talking, beating their head on the desk while this country slips into a mess. And we are tired of complaining. The government is not serious. That's why I told the chat group, this is a psyops operation of all these immigration raids. It's really a psychological operation because they are not approaching it holistically. The construction site over there, a gentleman who knows me very well, came here, told me that it's about 69 or whatever amount they give me. It's about, must be, or 50-something Haitians and only about 7 or 8 behemoths. You could go there and count them for yourself. These are the type of, we can't deal with this situation. They're saying one thing but doing the next. It's numbers, it's a numbers game. And so you will see, and it's not even the ones that go up at us. Not the ones that go up at us, you know. It's the new ones that are coming. They're not speaking English, and Lincoln being talking about this. They have passports, they have this and that. But they also have this level of belligerence. You heard Mateo disclose what I said over a year ago because of a Haitian female friend I know. When they go Haiti, they look at them as behemoths, they born here, but they still preaching them they're Haitians. But when they go there, they're not being accepted. Where does this post-colonial animosity comes in? The slave master has done, raped our minds. We need to have dialogue. We need to continue this, Mr. Nuri. We need a public dialogue. We need a consensus. The government needs to stop dilly-dallying around with this particular scenario. My schoolmate, Miles Monroe, me and you grew up together. I used to come to your house. You used to come to my house. I know your sister. I know your pa. I don't know the Dr. LaRota. Why can't we just speak up? You are supposed to be a minister of national security. They are creating insecurity. But you can't say we don't love the Haitian people. We love them. We love them so much they're overcrowding us now. And they started, you use the right word. If they subjugate one another in Haiti, you ain't nigga do it, yeah, Mr. Nui? You all see all of the surnames and some of the people doing the crimes. But they pull the gun and they take the nigga motorbike. Look at the son here. For a $3,000 motorbike, demons ain't that low, man.
I appreciate you, 52. As a mother, yeah. Miss Johnson, as a mother, are you concerned with immigration? Would you say that there is an immigration? I mean, I could tell you a political party that says there's no immigration problem, but I ain't gonna even go with there. You, as a mother, as a professional, because and not trying to diminish you as a middle-class, working-class woman, but you are not a working-class who live in inner city. You are working-class above that. You can pay bills, taxes, and travel. Nice places, right? Do you see immigrants? You know, some people just don't see them because, you know, they live on a certain level.
We need to raise the level of conversation because, one, all over the world, including the first world countries and ours, immigrants exist because there's a demand for their labor.
So there's a demand for Haitian labor, so therefore that's why they're here.
That's why they're here. Two,
are you concerned as a mother?
As a mother, I was just getting to your question. As a mother, honestly, I'm concerned in general with any government process that's not working as intended. As far as I'm concerned, like me, for instance, with my skill set, there are foreigners. A lot of people like to focus on Haitians and Jamaicans, but there are a lot of qualified Bahamians that have grown the financial services sector. And we still, when we look at the top, we still may or may not have Bahamians in some of those key roles. Or if they are there, they're not making the same money as a foreign person. Not only that, if when they came in and they applied for those, some of those persons in some of these key roles, they said that they were only here for a period and they would shadow a Bahamian, and this hasn't happened. So I'm more concerned about things like that, where for me, a lot of the immigrant labor, and if you look, like I have friends in construction, a lot of Bahamian persons complain about the amount of foreign labor in construction. But when you really listen to some of the contractors and their experience with Bahamian labor versus foreign labor, or what we call foreign labor, the work ethic is not always deemed to be the same. Now, I have heard complaints too that they're underpaid, so that's the problem. But I don't think it's the immigrants' problem. Like, we should regulate the wages. So for me, I'm not concerned with the immigrant. I'm concerned with our enforcement of our own rules that says how we're supposed to treat immigrant labor in our country.
I appreciate
they are only doing what we allow them to do.
I appreciate your response, because I asked that question specifically, you know, as a particular demographics of the Bahamas do not see a immigrant problem from a particular group of people. That's usually a lower demographics. And I see you mentioned the banks, your viewpoint, your vantage point, because of your income, because of your specialty education. Your view on immigration is different from people who are simply working class. I see you call us. We go in there. I'm going to read this text and go straight to the caller. So it's good morning. Let that lady know America signed on the treaty, that same treaty. Also, what her point, let them go to Haiti, why they all want to come here when they feel we don't like them. They come here, like Ms. Johnson said, because there's a shortage of labor and we asked them to come. And she hinted on why. Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. We engage you.
Okay, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Great. Concern. She indicated that Ms. Johnson indicated that we have a problem with labor, and so sometimes we allow so many of them to come to accommodate us in, and I'm paraphrasing, in whatever area we have a deficit. My concern with that is if we're bringing foreign labor in and you don't have, sometimes they can't find their permit, you're living in a shanty town, why don't you have proper housing? Because whoever's bringing you in, whoever's working with you to get a permit, there should be living accommodations. I just feel my concern is that so much blind eye is turned to what they are doing when they come in, and they are, and I think this goes way back to when there used to be this whole relationship with the Haitians in terms of, okay, we like this Haitian, this person is nice, this person is kind, the older ones. And they stayed on farms, and they lived on farms, and they took care of those farms, or whatever the case may be. And so now that's not the case. We're finding that, I don't know if we've nipped it in the butt, but it's finding that they're just coming in, and they're just building houses wherever. Do they really have a permit? Is somebody asking them to come in to work on a particular job site because there is a lack of labor in the Bahamas? To me, it doesn't seem like there's clarity on that, or there is any, and like somebody would have said, policing in these shanty towns. They shouldn't exist at all, but I'm concerned. You have children in these shanty towns. You have these shanty towns are very small. So you have husband, wives, whoever is living in there. So you have a mature adults doing mature adult stuff with children. You have fires that we've had in the shanty towns where, hey, one catch a fire, the next one will catch a fire as well. So is there safety for these, you know, for these children, for the human beings? There's water, is there water, light, those type of things, so that, you know, you're looking at, you know, sanitation and that type of thing. And then when they collect their salaries, because we're giving so much and we're saying, okay, free education, so now the person who's going to be working on the job, who's bringing in, just say that's a fact, they're bringing their wife and their children. And so now we're having to care for them in terms of health care and in terms of education. I just think it's a lot, and I don't think that anybody is stopping to look through all of this entire process in our country to say, is there another country that's doing the same thing, that's allowing the same thing to happen in terms of the shanty towns, in terms of how we're bringing, and we, if we need the labor, then let's bring in the labor that we need. But is anybody taking account of it and working with it to ensure that we do need the labor that is coming in, and what we don't need is leaving our country? And that's not just Haitians, that's whoever it is. The other day I was in McDonald's, and apparently this gentleman was indicating that he was put off the boat because of his conduct, and they gave him a ticket to get to the airport. And he was contemplating, and he was asking how difficult it is to live in the Bahamas and that type of thing. He was not driven to the airport and told to get on a plane to get out of here, or left with supervision, some police supervision or whatever, to get out of the country. He was just left with a ticket to get back at his own discretion. And what is the process with that? I don't think he's a Haitian. To me, he didn't indicate to be one. But it's like we are so, to me, for lack of a better word, slack with our laws and our policies and what we allow and what we don't allow. And we're taking so much responsibility on. When you talk about the rich having to assist the poor, are these people really poor? We just simply assume Haiti has some of the richest places and some of the most beautiful places. We only see the poor places on TV, but they have. Why aren't their rich persons helping them? Why is it always assumed that, hey, the Bahamas should be the place, and we're not looking for anybody else to assist, or we're not have a limit or a boundary as to, hey, this is what we're going to accept, and when is that going to start?
Okay.
When are we going to create boundaries for ourselves?
I appreciate you. Siobhan. Ms. Johnson, you there?
I think she supported a lot of what I said in that a lot of it points back to it's not the immigrant, it's us. When you give someone a license, one of the conditions of the license is that you provide housing. So we just need to put crackdown on the person who the license was granted to on behalf of that immigrant.
So you're saying we don't have an immigration problem, we have a management problem?
We have a larger problem. We have a lot. If we want to accept that we have an immigration problem, we have to equally accept it's because we're mismanaging the problem that has been created. When you look at the shanty towns, I grew up in Carmichael Road. These alleged shanty towns were not hidden. Everybody knew where they were. They used to borrow the electricity from the poles. Everybody knows that. So it's not hidden. So it's us. We allowed it. We want to blame them. They're just trying to survive. So to me, they're just trying to survive, okay? We have to police. We have to enforce.
And when you say we, I know you don't mean me. You mean talking about...
No, because you don't work for immigration.
I'm just making sure you don't mean me. You mean in immigration. You're talking about LaRota them.
Whoever it is.
The buck stops? That's what you're talking about. You're talking about him.
Well, I have a different philosophy. I feel that, you know, the leaders, the politicians, yes, the buck could stop at them, but we pay civil servants to run this country. And so before I get to them, I want to make sure the persons whose day-to-day job it is to enforce are doing their enforcement.
Mm. Thank you very much, Siobhan. Let me read this text before I go. Say, bless up to the beloved CA. You see how the various nations have residents and permanent residents, and how the U.S. has different level of residencies, the permanent residents with their FEMA's green card, etc. Please just give people like John Rooney and various similar others some type of permanent residencies, but do not give them citizenship with the right to vote. I repeat, do not give them citizenship with the right to vote. Just give them good, strong permanent residences. Simply come up with or create a digital brown card or blue card system or whatever, so the people like John Rooney can comfortably reside, work, live, and function sensibly to the Bahamas. But no citizenship, just permanent residence to live and function like a good, decent human being. After all, we all are human. Okay, I can leave and end with that particular text. And this text says, hats off to the texter. America signed on to the same child education policies. They breaching it themselves. You are incorrect. It's not only the lower class are concerned with immigration. Trust me, even the blind could see we have an immigration crisis. I don't need no one to tell me that. We have a migrant crisis. And earlier, Siobhan said if we had people who was managing the systems properly, this would have been a better country. It wouldn't be no migrant crisis or anything. It's just that we have poor management of our affairs. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Neary. Thank you very much, Ms. Siobhan Johnson.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Thank you, Bahamas.
Yeah. You have a wonderful day.